here are some keys to a fruitful ministry. Peter was interviewing Phoebe, an 11-year-old girl, to determine her interest before matching her with a Christian mentor. The gangly pre-adolescent child sat with wide eyes when told of the fun thing she could do with her own adult friend. "What I really like to do is play kickball." Meanwhile, I was in the kitchen speaking with Phoebe's mom. Tears ran down her face as she recounted the events that led to our involvement with her family. It made me sick when I read the police report and learned that my baby had been with the neighborhood men. While most 11-year-olds were playing games like kickball, Phoebe and her 12-year-old friend were being sold by a 21-year-old prostitute to support her own crack habit. The sickness of this world is raining down on thousands of children on Long Island. Neglected, abused, and lost children are the mission field of youth mentoring. Of course, most of the children involved with youth mentoring do not face the situations like those of Phoebe and her family. Many of the children simply have few caring, responsible adult role models in their lives. Many of their single mothers or guardians are so occupied with just trying to keep a roof over their family's heads that they could deeply benefit from a Christian mentor in the lives of their children. If God has called you, He is asking you to cover one assigned child or mother with the supportive umbrella of your love, attention, and friendship. Your weekly meetings will be used by God to introduce His love into that boy's, girl's, or mother's darkened life and eventually enable him or her to begin an abiding relationship with Himself. Most of us feel a little afraid and unusually inadequate when we sense God's call to the mission field. Even Moses asked, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh?" But if God wants you in this ministry, He promises just what He promised Moses: "I will be with you." Could we possibly ask for more? A youth mentoring area director also guides and assists mentors throughout their matching relationship. The following pages contain key understanding to the ministry of youth mentoring and your role in reaching out to a vulnerable child or mother. As you read, ask God to open your heart and mind to know His will for this ministry. Youth mentoring staff, there to help. As the relationship begins to grow and the level of trust between the mentor and his or her mentee begins to increase, the area director supports the relationship in the following three ways. First, in utilizing the network of professionals with whom youth mentoring has contact, i.e. lawyers, doctors, dentists, social workers, etc., the area director is able to assist a vulnerable family with resources that may have been previously inaccessible. Second, the area director is in regular contact with the mentor, child, and family. As the relationship grows and issues are confronted, the area director seeks to provide assistance in troubleshooting problems. Although we do not always have the answer, it is our experience that through prayer and brainstorming with other believing professionals, the area director can help find solutions which were not originally apparent. Third, if the young person, his or her family, face a crisis of some nature, the area director is available to provide help. The Mother's Ministry. Youth mentoring is an interdenominational ministry to vulnerable young people and their families. It is our belief that in order to effectively minister to vulnerable families, oftentimes we not only need to reach the children, but we must also minister to the mother. Recognizing this to be true, youth mentoring has developed a mother's ministry in which a Christian woman is matched up individually with a mother who is in need of support. The mother's ministry differs from the one-to-one program primarily because it is centered on a peer relationship. Mothers of vulnerable children who are often isolated, without support, and exhausted in their struggle to hold the family together are matched individually with caring Christian women whose aim is to bring God's love and support into their lives. The mother mentor agrees to give 4 hours a month to her youth mentoring mentee. She's available to help support the mother through loneliness she often experiences, since in most cases there is little time for these mothers to develop supportive relationships. Youth mentoring gives them a friend who will share the hope that she has found in Jesus Christ. The Homework Club. provides after-school tutoring for children in first through fourth grades to help improve reading and comprehension skills, as well as provide a positive adult who cares for them and gives life direction when needed. During the weekly 1.5-hour meetings, there is a group playtime, reading time, and snack time, as well as one-on-one reading time between the child and the tutor. What we offer academically is supplemental. However, what our mentors offer is difficult to find for a child who is from a troubled family and not performing in the classroom. Today, tutors typically charge between $50 and $75 per hour. Our tutors volunteer their time. Bridges provides one-on-one mentoring to foster children who are living in group homes. The youngsters are between the ages of 14 and 20. They are in these group foster homes for many reasons. Some are orphans, others are removed from their home because of abuse sent by the court system, and others are there because they are emotionally disabled and unable to function in their own homes. New York State says that 60% of the youth who leave these homes at age 18 end up homeless. We want to prepare them for life and to provide them with a network that most children naturally benefit from as they start out in life. What it takes. The keys to being a mentor. Is God calling you to be a youth mentoring mentor? The following are four steps that may help clarify some questions about what it takes to be a youth mentoring mentor. 1. Motivation. It is often impossible to judge others' motivations, and it is even at times difficult to understand our own. Yet we know that God judges the heart, and it is the all-important factor in our relationship with Him. We must first ask ourselves what our reason is for wanting to be matched with a child. We must be careful not to join this ministry for reasons that may not be God-directed. Here's a look at how our motivations can affect our efforts as mentors. A. Reasons to mentor. What are the right reasons for being a mentor? First of all, there should exist a deep conviction that God is sending you there for Christian service. If this is really what God wants you to do, He will give you the strength to face the setbacks that are sure to come. The other right reason for joining this ministry is out of love for children. People numbered among the world's forgotten. If you really love these people, you won't use them for your own selfish ambitions. Your purpose will be, by loving words and actions, to point them to Jesus Christ, who is the author and perfecter of authentic love. Under the mandate of love, you also won't get discouraged as easily when things get tough. Here are some of the wrong reasons. Some well-meaning people have the potential to be compelled to help children by a combination of sympathy and guilt. They may be tempted to take on a child solely because of a sense of civic duty in an attempt to make themselves feel better. You may also be motivated to help a vulnerable child because you may have been one yourself. While this may be a very beneficial factor in relating to the child and your story may be wonderful, children don't always tie your sense of hope with their future. You may tell a child your story with all the fervency you can muster, and after you've finished, his or her response might be, so what? God will use your past to help you build a friendship with a youth, but if your motivation is to save the child from your own pain or anguish, your message may fall on deaf ears. Kids want a relationship with someone who cares. If you seek to build a relationship, God will use your past experiences in a natural way. Another misguided motivation is that of looking at converting people to Christianity as a numbers-oriented issue. This kind of approach can create a feeling in the people being evangelized that the mentor is just a scalp hunter. Scalp hunters reach out to people solely to convert as many people as quickly as possible to add more scalps to their soul winner belts. In short, we minister to children not to justify ourselves or our church, nor to do our civic duty, not out of sympathy or guilt, or even to win souls, but because Christ commands us to go. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, The love of Christ compels us. If you go with any other motivation, you're setting yourself up for disillusionment and disappointment. Sharing our faith with kids is indeed what we are about. But as we said earlier, we show and share this faith in many ways, particularly by our actions. Most children resent a pushy, highly evangelic approach. It either turns them completely cold, or they will accept the approach convincingly, but falsely, just to get you to leave them alone. It is much better to form friendships with children and to let witnessing grow naturally out of the relationship. This takes time and patience. Teachability. Beyond a calling based on love, another quality of a good mentor is teachability. If you realize that you don't know everything about youth ministry, but are willing to learn, you are well ahead of the game. This means you are open to learn from the experiences of others, printed materials, and all the people in a youth's environment. Keep this attitude, and it is only a matter of time before you become an excellent mentor. 3. Growing faith. The youth mentoring mentor should have a growing faith, a faith that is deepening day by day. While you are not expected to be a theologian, you should be able to talk forthrightly about what Christ has done in your life and the hope He has given you. Your biggest asset will be your daily walk with the Lord. As you allow a young person into your life and they share new experiences, challenges, frustrations with you, they will be drawn to the hope that is within you, that is, Christ. Remember, you're not a model of perfection, but a model of redemption. And 4, consistency and dependability. Following through on your promises is essential for one-to-one mentors. Although your mentee may let you down and disappoint you, you will need to be faithful, consistent, and dependable. This is a central requirement for an effective Christian in ministry. Remember, many of the children and mothers have developed a thick veneer of distrust. It's their strategy for survival. They have been bruised and disappointed many times, and you must not allow your relationship to end in another failure or rejection. If you promise you will do something, keep your promise. Trust builds slowly. If you have a hard time keeping your commitments, then ministry to children and their families is not for you. Your relationship with God, the first and last key. The key ingredient to success in your one-to-one relationship with a child or mother is your relationship with God. More specifically, your quiet time spent with God. As it is God's will for you to enter into this relationship, it is His love, wisdom, and power which will guide, strengthen, and sustain you. Therefore, it is essential to consistently seek God through prayer and the reading of His Word. Prayer. Prayer will be one of the most significant and powerful tools in your relationship, especially in the following areas. Pray that the Lord's will be done, which may be different from your own. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And that's from John 14:13. The Lord has a perfect will and plan for the life of your mentee, and He has chosen you to be a part of that plan. You may enter into this relationship with certain hopes and expectations, but in praying for the Lord's will, you are allowing for unlimited possibilities, the certainty of His hand upon that precious life, and the enactment of His will. Ask that others pray for you. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. That's from Matthew 18:19. Throughout Scripture, the Lord encourages us to pray for one another and to bear one another's burdens. We suggest that once matched, you ask others to pray for you. There is great encouragement that comes from the knowledge that others are lifting you and your one-to-one relationship in prayer. God's Word. One of the ways in which God chooses to reveal Himself is through His Word, the Holy Bible. the Bible is a handbook for the Christian life. It reveals the life, the hope, and the promises that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. It offers words of direction, encouragement, and assurance for each day. In your one-to-one relationship, situations may arise which you may feel unable or ill-equipped to handle. In those times, bring the situation to the Lord in prayer and rest in the promises of His Word. Of course, after lifting the issue in prayer, your area director is always there for you to assist you with these issues. Trust Him to work through the difficulties. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. That's from Proverbs 3:5-6. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. That's from 1 Peter 5:7. As in all relationships, there may be times when challenges and difficulties arise. When you bring these situations to the Lord, He will be faithful to meet your needs and work through the difficulties. It is by trusting in His providence that we can experience the peace that comes from laying our burdens before Him. Strength, when you are ready to quit, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And that's from Galatians 6:9. In the midst of adversity, it often becomes difficult to understand where the Lord is leaning. We may grow weary and feel we lack the strength to move on. We have the privilege of serving God Almighty, who is all-powerful and who empowers us through His Holy Spirit. In Isaiah 40:29-31, God's Word clearly demonstrates how the Lord responds when we come to Him with our weariness. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might He increase power. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Again, that's from Isaiah 40:29-31. Just as the Lord has brought you to this relationship, so will He establish you in this relationship by faithfully meeting your needs. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us an eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. Listening, the key to caring. The people the Lord brings to youth mentoring rarely have had the opportunity to have someone listen to them. Most of the people in their lives are too busy, too needy themselves, or just too uncaring to pay attention. What a gift you will be giving them if you truly listen to what they have to say. When you take the time to listen to anyone, you are communicating that he or she is important to you. When you don't listen, you communicate that the person is not important, even though you may not feel that way. Unfortunately, most of us miss 50 to 75% of what we hear. Why? Because we all have blocks to listening. It's important to know what your blocks are. Here are some blocks to listening. Number one, jumping to conclusions. People who do this are assuming they know everything there is to know about the situation, that they already know the answer. Do not assume that because you had a similar problem, you totally understand what this person is going through. Two, a closed mind. People with this listening block fear they will lose control if they become too open to new input. Their insecurity leads them to rubber stamp judgments at the instant ideas are expressed. Nothing inhibits communication more. Three, listening only to words. Hurting people are seldom able to express in words all the information and feeling they need to communicate. Focusing on their words alone becomes a strategy to avoid a deeper emotional meaning, which may be confusing or alarming. A good listener is keenly aware of nonverbal cues and unafraid to encounter the issues they reveal. Number four, preoccupation with self. We're all caught ourselves planning what we'll say next while someone else is speaking. If we're always busy polishing up our own comments, we'll miss most of what the other person says. People who love to speak their own point of view end up discouraging others to speak theirs. Listening is more a skill than an art. Studies reveal that we tend to hear what we want to hear and turn off what we don't like or agree with. There are many factors that influence how we listen. The other person's appearance, our perception of their intelligence, their accent, the atmosphere and temperature of a room, and other competing noises or distractions. Our goal in listening should be to be aware of these obstacles and prejudices and to overcome them so that we can focus on what the person is saying in an objective manner. Good listening does not mean we condone someone's behavior, but it does convey an acceptance of the individual as a person who is entitled to be different from us. God calls us to be sympathetic, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. If we incorporate these qualities into our listening, it will reflect that acceptance. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate, and humble. And that's from 1 Peter 3:8. Questions are windows to understanding. Asking questions is just another good way to demonstrate your interest and clarify your understanding of what is being said. This will indicate that you are listening and or trying to understand. As we strive to understand someone, we must be content to realize that we will only have a general idea of what they are going through. Nevertheless, we appreciate the person's feelings without becoming so emotionally involved that our judgment is affected. Before meeting with a youth mentoring child or mother, stop, pray, and empty your mind of all problems you are dealing with so that you can focus on what the Lord is doing that day between you and your mentee. Listening needs to be practiced. It is not something that occurs naturally. The goal of listening is to create a safe environment for sharing or for change. Friendship evangelism, the key to sharing your faith. Evangelism is a powerful word. The mere mention of it can make some people angry, force others to hide in their pews, and still motivate others to preach the gospel. Many of the current perceptions of evangelism are based on misconceptions of what evangelism means. Some people believe it is a form of manipulation where fanatics try to force or trick others into adopting their beliefs. Others see their faith as a private matter, which is not open to discussion. Still, others shrink from evangelism through the fear of being challenged about their own beliefs. As Christians, we view evangelism as a way of sharing the most important message that can ever be told. But how are we going to reach out to people who are so different from ourselves and whose life experiences may exceed our understanding? Furthermore, how can we accomplish these tasks without falling into the trap of manipulating others or intruding into areas of their lives where they may not be ready for us to go? Here are three keys from the Bible that will help us share our faith with wisdom, truth, and power. Number one, share your life as well as your words. The Apostle Paul gave us a good picture of his ministry philosophy when he wrote to the church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, "But we are gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us." At Youth Mentoring, we believe the key to communicating the gospel is not just in sharing the words of the message, but also in sharing the message through our lives. This is true in any relationship, but when you are reaching out to vulnerable children and families, its importance becomes paramount. Many of the individuals involved have only experienced relationships where there has been inconsistency and pain. For them to realize the truth of the gospel message, they will need to see your life is consistent with your words. This does not mean you have to be perfect in order to be a mentor. it does mean that you have to take your commitment to the relationship as seriously as you take your relationship to the Lord. There will be times when you will make mistakes, but even in those times, you can demonstrate your character by asking forgiveness. Being humble in failure can have a great impact on someone who may expect you to lie to cover up mistakes. The Apostle John gives us the same admonition in the first epistle, chapter 3, verse 18. Dear children, let us not love with words and tongue, but with actions and truth. Words are important and can have a large impact on people's life, but if our words are not supported by our actions, they will become meaningless or even negative in the perception of the hearer. Number 2, leave the judging to God. How can we reach out in a way that will communicate our sincerity about the truth of the gospel? Jesus has given us the approach we need to take in this example and words. Do not judge lest you yourself be judged. When I read these words, my first reaction is to say, but God, they deserve to be judged because, or, but I've been wronged and it's only just for me to do something about it. And, but God, look what they did. If you are working with vulnerable children and families, there will be many times when you will feel as if you need to correct, reprove, or just set straight a child because of his or her negative behavior. And these times, you will need to remember Jesus' admonition to look to yourself before you judge another person. We are not asking you to become a pushover, nor to condone unacceptable behavior. We are asking you to weigh your words carefully and to only speak out when necessary. Consider this. If the child is willing and able to change his or her behavior by simply responding to the reproof of an adult, the child would probably not need to be involved with youth mentoring. Most of the children have withstood enough adult lectures to become immune to them. Number 3, looking to God in the long run. You may be asking yourself, how am I going to make a difference? Well, here's the equation for you to consider. Prayer, love, and consistency over time equals changed lives. There are no guarantees with this formula, but if we pray, love, and persevere, we know that we are doing all that God asks of us. Through this persistent ministry, our words have a better chance of being heard and understood because we are modeling our words with our lives. Most of all, we must remember to remain close to Christ and to depend on Him to help us accomplish this task that He has set before us. Keep in mind, Jesus' own words recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. There will come times when you will want to give up on the relationship. At these times, your relationship with God and the encouragement of other Christians can see you through your discouragement and keep you focused on your goal of bringing Christ to a child who is in desperate need of Him. Finally, this leads us to sharing Christ with our words. When and how can we speak about our faith? Well, this will develop over time. As we pray, God will open up opportunities for us to communicate the gospel with our words. There are no set formulas, tracts, or books that we know of that will make this task any easier. Our lives will be the most important demonstration of the truth in God's word. In summary, if we follow friendship evangelism, we will be bringing the gospel of Christ into a child's life in the only way it can be truly understood. Although this does not guarantee that the child will make a commitment to Christ, it does assure that our ministry will be more than words. We will know that the truth of the gospel has been demonstrated through our lives.
Thank you for listening to this recording of Keys to a Fruitful Ministry. This recording was read by Ken McQuiller on behalf of Long Island Youth Mentoring. If you would, Mark a time in your calendar when you plan to listen to this recording again so that you will be reoriented and encouraged in your ministry.